Title, Reese Width Without Mud, Using Session View Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson, and we're going straight into a really real drum and bass problem. You want that wide, nasty, rolling Reese, but the second you widen it, the mix turns into soup. The low end gets blurry, the snare loses its body, and in mono the bass either collapses or just disappears. So today we're going to do this properly. Wide Reese Without Mud, using Session View as a testing lab. Not Arrangement View, not Endless Automation Lanes, not tweaking yourself into a hole. Session View, Clips, Scenes, Quick/B, Quick Decisions. And we'll do it with stock Ableton devices. The core idea is simple, but the execution is what makes it pro. You're going to build a three-layer bass system. 1. A mono, stable sub that never changes. 2. A Reese mid-layer where all the width lives, but only after we high-pass it so it can't mess with the sub. And 3. An optional top layer for edge and stereo motion that stays out of the way of the important frequencies. Let's set up the lab first. Set your tempo to typical dnb range, 170 to 176 BPM. I like 174 as a starting point. Then make a simple one-bar drum loop, kick, snare, hats, whatever gets the groove across. The reason is you never design bass in a vacuum. A Reese that sounds huge solo can beat an absolute disaster once the snare shows up. Now create a group called bass group, and inside it, make three MIDI tracks named SUB, Reese Mid, and TOP Optional. Here's why we're in Session View. We're going to create variations as separate clips and scenes, and then launch them instantly to compare. No, I think it was better 5 minutes ago. You'll actually know. Now we build the sub. This is the anchor. This is the part that wins on big systems and still translates on small speakers. And it must be mono. On the SUB track, drop in operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it clean. For the envelope, choose a release depending on your groove. If you want bounce, go shorter, like 80 to 140 milliseconds. If you want a sustained note, go longer, but be careful. Long subtails can overlap and smear the rhythm, especially at 174 BPM. Add EQ 8 next. If your mid layer is going to handle the character above, say, 100-ish Hz, you can low pass the sub around 90 to 120 Hz. Use a steep slope like 24 dB per octave. And if you hear boxiness, do a gentle dip around 200 to 300, but don't overdo it. The sub's job is consistency. Now add utility. Set width to 0%. Hard mono. This is non-negotiable. If you make the sub stereo, you're basically volunteering for mud and mono cancellation. Now write a bass clip, classic roller rhythm, offbeat movement, a couple ghost notes, and if you want extra sauce, add a tiny pitch bend on a couple notes with clip envelopes for slides. Keep it musical, not random. Cool. Sub done. Don't keep redesigning it every scene. The sub is your constant reference point. Now let's build the Reese mid layer, where most people ruin everything. The mistake is widening a full range Reese. Chorus and unison down in the low mids is exactly where width equals mud. On the Reese MID track, load wave eatable, because it's fast and controllable. Set oscillator 1 to a sawish wave. Basic shapes saw works. Oscillator 2 also sawish, or go a bit squarer if you want bite. Now unison. Start small, 2 to 4 voices. Don't go 8 voices immediately. Detune subtle, like 10 to 20%. We're not trying to create a fog bank, we're building controlled width. Now the key move. We split the mid into a centered glue component and a wide component, and we high pass both so none of this layer fights the sub. Add an audio effect rock on the Reese MID track. Create two chains. Name one MID mono low cut, and the other MID wide. On the MID mono low cut chain, add EQ 8. High pass at about 120 to 180 Hz with a steep slope. Pick a cutoff that works with your sub. If your sub is low passed around 100, a high pass around 150-ish on the Reese mid usually behaves. Then add utility after the EQ and set width around 0 to 20%. This is your center glue. It keeps the Reese present in mono and keeps the chest of the bass anchored. On the MID Y chain, first, EQ 8 again, same high pass range, 120 to 180, same steepness. This is important. Widen only what's already high passed. Then add chorus ensemble. Keep it restrained. Amount around 10 to 25%, rate around 0.2 to 0.6 Hz, and mix around 10 to 30%. If you crank chorus, the bass can sound impressive, but it'll start doing that facey thing where it collapses in mono. After the chorus, add utility and push width to something like 140 to 200%. Yes, that's a lot. But remember, it's only widening high-passed content, not the sub. Optional movement. Add auto filter after the width on that wide chain, or even better, sometimes before the width if you want the movement to stay coherent. If you put movement before widening, the stereo processing receives a phase-aligned signal that's changing, and it often sounds more talky and less washed out. Try an LFO sync to 1/8 or 1/4 with low depth. Keep it hypnotic, not chaotic. Now, teacher moment. Decide what width is doing. Pick one job. Is the width giving size and space? Is it giving motion? Or is it giving separation from the drums? If you try to force all three just by adding more chorus and unison, you'll smear transients and lose punch. A nice workflow is: one chain gives you static size, another chain gives you modulated motion, and you blend. In our rack, the mono-ish chain is stability, the wide chain is size and motion. Now do the session view power move. Duplicate your Reese clip 3 to 5 times. Each duplicate gets a small variation. One clip, chorus mix 10%. Another, 20. Another, 30. Another, change auto filter LFO rate from 1/4 to 1/8. Another, tweak wave editable position or unison amount slightly. Keep the MIDI the same so you're judging sound, not notes. Now let's clean the mud zones. After the rack on the Reese MID track itself, at EQ 8, this is where you protect the snare and stop the blanket effect. Sweep 200 to 400 Hz and listen for the moment your snare suddenly feels like it can breathe again. That's usually where the Reese is clouding it. Don't carve a Canahan. Start with a small dip and adjust. Then check 500 to 900 Hz for honk or nasal resonance, especially if you distort later. Add multi-band dynamics next, but keep it gentle. This is not an excuse to smash OTT and call it sound design. You want light control, a little compression in the mid-band, ratio around 1.5 to 2 to 1, just a few dB of gain reduction. High band only if the fizz is harsh. Low band should be pretty irrelevant if you high-passed correctly. Optional, add saturator. Drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip-on. And here's an advanced pro habit, level match. If you drive it and it sounds better, it might just be louder. So keep output matched so your /B is honest. Actually, let's formalize that. At the very end of your bass group, add a utility and name it level match. Every time you make a wider scene that feels bigger, pull it down until your peaks match the tightest version. Your ears will start making better decisions instantly. Now the optional top layer. This is for edge, stereo excitement, and air, without messing with the fundamental. On the TOP track, load operator noise or a bright wave eatable patch. Then high pass aggressively. EQ 8 high pass at 600 Hz to 1K Hz. This layer should not add low mid weight. It's garnish, not the meal. Add pedal or amp for bite. If you use pedal, use the low cut so you don't reintroduce mud. Then add auto pan for controlled stereo motion. Synced rate 1/8 or 1/16, amount 20 to 40%, and set phase to 180 degrees so it actually feels wide. Now sidechain. Put your sidechain compressor on the bass group, not on every layer, unless you have a specific reason. Sidechain from the kick, and optionally include the snare if you're using a drum bus. Start with ratio 3 to 1, attack 3 to 10 milliseconds so you don't kill the transient, release 60 to 120 milliseconds tuned to the groove. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. In rolling DNB, you want the bass to breathe with the drums, not just be a static wall. Now we build the session view scenes for width auditioning. And I want you to name scenes by musical intent, not by technical settings. This is a big mindset upgrade. Instead of scene 1 120% width, name it drop A, focus, then a wider one, drop A, lift, then maybe fill, talking for a more modulated filter movement. The point is, you choose based on what the section needs, not because you got excited by a knob. But yes, here are good starting targets. Tight, club mono friendly, wide chain at about 120%, chorus mix around 10, wide roller, width 160, chorus 20, huge but controlled, width 190, chorus 25 to 30, and maybe a little dip around 250 to 300 if it's fogging the snare. Critical rule, keep the sub track unchanged across all scenes. If the sub changes, you won't know whether your improvement came from width control or just a different low end. Now mono check and phase sanity. This is non-negotiable. Temporarily put a utility on the master. Map a key or a macro to width at 0%. That's your mono button. As you launch scenes, hit mono every 10 to 20 seconds. In mono, a good Reese should collapse narrower but still punch and still read. If it disappears, gets hollow, or loses all body around 150 to 300, you've got facey widening living too low. Extra Pro check. Don't only rely on mono. Add Spectrum on the master, set it to block mode, and watch what happens in the low mids when you hit mono. If you see a sudden loss of energy around 150 to 300, that's your warning sign. Fixes if it fails the mono test. Reduce unison voices or detune. Reduce chorus mix. Make sure the wide chain is high passed. And keep that mono-ish mid-chain present as center glue. Now let's go advanced for a second with surgical width control. If your version of Live has it, you can do mid/side processing in the wide chain. The idea is, the sides should be high passed even higher than the mid. So inside the wide chain, you keep your main high pass around 120 to 180, but on the side content you push the high pass up to like 250 to 400, sometimes even 500 depending on the track. That keeps the problem chest centered, while the air and upper character go wide. This is how you get panoramic width without stepping on the snare body. Another advanced move, width ducking. Put a compressor only on the wide chain, and sidechain it from the snare. Fast attack, medium release, subtle gain reduction. Now the sides tuck out of the way on snare hits, so the backbeat stays clean, but between the hits the bass blooms wide again. That's the kind of thing that sounds expensive. If chorus is causing your mono to get sketchy, try anti-chorus width, pitch divergence instead of micro delay. Duplicate the res mid inside the rack to another chain, detune one up a few cents and the other down a few cents, then pan them moderately, like 30 to 60 left and right, not full hard pan. This often collapses in mono much more gracefully. One more quick diagnostic test that saves hours, the two-note interaction test. Make one clip that plays your moving res line, and another clip that just holds the tonic note. / B them quickly. If it only gets cloudy when the line moves, it might not be width at all. It might be harmonic buildup. In that case, solve with filtering and distortion placement, not just narrowing. Speaking of distortion placement, here's a sound design trick, pre-distortion EQ. If you distort a full res, low mids explode. Instead, place EQ 8 before saturator on your mid-chain. Dip 250 to 350 a bit, and maybe 500 to 800 if it gets nasal. Then drive. You'll get aggression without that boxy bloom. Now we commit. This is the part most people skip, and it's why they never finish tunes. This audio version is shortened for playback.